Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Monday morning to you, everybody. We come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Big show coming up for you this morning. We're already into it after hour number one. We're talking about all of the NFL playoff games from over the weekend. We've also got a chance to preview tonight's national championship game in college. We are also stunned to a news next hour. If you want to weigh in on any of the divisional round action and looking ahead to the championship games or tonight's LSU-Clemson tilt, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter DA on CBS. Let's carry over what we were discussing at the end of last hour. Should Pete Carroll have punted? He was on his own 36-yard line, 4th and 11 last night. Seahawks decide to punt it away. They never get it back. And the Packers convert 2 third downs. The throw from Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams for 1 first down, and then the Jimmy Graham shallow cross. And that's all she wrote. Let me tell you, the throw from Rodgers to Devontae Adams was just football bliss. I mean, I get it if that was gut-wrenching if you're a Seahawks fan, but if you are just a fan of football, third down, playoff game to ice it, freezing Lambeau Field, Aaron Rodgers throws just an absolute perfectly placed pass right to Devontae Adams over his shoulder, boom, hauls it in, first down. It was just a thing of beauty. It's a Rembrandt. You hang that on your wall. Third down to ice a playoff game at freezing Lambeau, and he just tosses it right over the shoulder of Adams and beyond the defenders. My goodness, was that gorgeous. Brilliance. And watching Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers yesterday was like watching the masters of art. Each one of them did things yesterday that just allowed you to say, this is beautiful. It is football beauty. But because of that throw, the Seahawks never get the ball back. Mraz, should Pete Carroll have gone for it on 4th and 11 from his own 36?
Yes, I do. And I think if Pete Carroll's 20 years younger, he probably does go for it. I think he got stuck in an old-school mentality. And also still thinking the Seahawks defense was the Seahawks defense from their Super Bowl years. The Seahawks are Russell Wilson turning into a magician and nothing else, especially with Clowney beat up. Put the ball in your best player's hands and hope you convert.
So I can make the argument both ways here. On the first hand, you go, it was 3rd and 6, then you take the sack, and it's 3rd and 11. 4th and 11, rather. It's 4th and 11. The odds of you converting 4th and 11, pretty low. If you don't get it, the Packers barely have to even move the football, can kick a field goal there, make it an 8-point lead.
But again, it's only 8.
It is only an 8-point lead, which means still you get the ball back, and you can go down the field, touchdown, 2-point conversion, you tie. The flip side is also that the Packers had only scored once in the second half. They had a 21-3 lead in the first half at halftime. They only scored the one touchdown. So in the second half, the Seahawks defense had risen to the challenge.
I agree, But the Packers also, as we saw, didn't have to score. It was all about just finding ways to burn the clock and get first downs. And I think when you've played that game, and I know you're not expecting to go on that lengthy a drive there, the time is in the Packers' hands at home. You are controlling the ball. Take your shot. And what if you get a pass interference call? It's not just about the conversion.
No, that's fair.
And that happens all the time in the NFL.
I mean, I think that if you want to make the argument for it's Russell Wilson was dazzling in the second half. They could simply not figure him out.
Right.
I mean, outside of that drive that they got the sack.
And it's ironic because you're going to mention the sack, but I would say even with the pass rush, Russell Wilson was dancing in and out of sacks all night long. And I think that's another part of it. When you have a dual threat quarterback like that, 4th and 11 is not the same 4th and 11 with a straight pocket passer. Your options are completely open. He can extend a play. Suddenly things break down. He runs those 11 yards. There are so many more options with a Russell Wilson at quarterback in a 4th and 11. Let him be magical like he has been all season long rather than just trusting a defense that might have had a great second half, but ultimately wasn't great all year.
Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson yesterday proved that, as you said, 4th and 11 is not impossible because all of those guys scrambled for long first downs yesterday. And that was truly, I mean, look, part of the Mahomes comeback in Kansas City was how mobile he is. His arm is spectacular, obviously. His command of the offense is spectacular. But how many times did a play break down and Mahomes said, fine, I'll just take the first down, new set of downs. Going to scramble out of bounds, get the first down, 6 yards, 10 yards, 12 yards, first down, move the chains. That's how dangerous he is, and Russell Wilson was doing the same thing yesterday. I'd like to know how many actual yards he ran because from dipping in and out of oncoming pass rushers and scrambling around incessantly trying to buy time, it feels like he must have run 200 yards yesterday. Ultimately, the Packers never give the ball back. Two big third down conversions. The Seahawks are going home, and now the Green Bay Packers are moving on to San Francisco for the NFC Championship game. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you want to weigh in on whether Pete Carroll should have punted there with about 2.5 minutes to play. On Saturday night, the number one seed of the AFC goes down and goes down hard. Lamar Jackson has a rough outing against the Tennessee Titans, and the Ravens are now going home.
I don't really care about what they're saying. You know, this is my second year in the league. Many people don't be able to make it to the playoffs. I got a great team with me. We ain't really worried about what the people saying. We just going to keep going. Like I said, get ready for next year.
It's two bad playoff games for Lamar Jackson. Last year against San Diego, well, the L.A. Chargers, and this year against the Titans. Two bad ones. I am not here for anybody to tell me that Lamar Jackson is fool's gold. I'm not going to sit here and listen to that because that is an idiotic, moronic, stupid take. If you think you can assess a quarterback's long-term success after two playoff games in his first two seasons as a starter, you are lost. Now, there are people that think because he's a running quarterback, because he's an unfinished product passing-wise, that he's always been a gimmick, he's always been a gadget, and that's your take. But do not come at me, oh, see, Lamar Jackson will never get it done to the playoffs. Because apparently you don't remember every other Hall of Fame quarterback, basically. Peyton Manning, his first three playoff games, 0-3. 0-3. Peyton Manning, his first three playoff games, not only lost as the favorite, was at home, 13-3, second year in the league. Sound familiar? Had a bye. Sound familiar? And a wild card team came in and beat him. You know what wild card team that was? That's right, the Tennessee Titans. Sound familiar? Did Peyton Manning end up being okay in the playoffs? Did Peyton Manning end up going to four different Super Bowls? Give me a break. If you are suddenly on the, see, Lamar Jackson will never get it done in the playoffs, you're an idiot. An absolute mouth-breathing moron. The fact is we don't know because Lamar Jackson's still an unfinished product and still so young. Lamar Jackson's in year number two. He didn't even end up starting until midseason last year. To say that last year's playoff loss is somehow connected to this year's playoff loss is stupid. This year, the Ravens, as a team, threw out a clunker. His receivers dropped passes. His defense allowed nearly 200 yards on the ground to Derrick Henry. It was a team that, with the Titans, kind of are on a little bit of a magic carpet ride right now, and the Ravens saved one of their worst performances of the season for that game. Now, part of that is on Lamar Jackson. He's the leader. He's the quarterback. He was bad. But saying, oh, see, Lamar Jackson will never get it done in the playoffs is stupid. Is so stupid. We have no idea what he is going to be. And I'll tell you this. If you gave a head coach like John Harbaugh 14-2 every year and a first-round bye or home field advantage, he would take whatever quarterback is doing that every single day. Every single day. Lamar Jackson was incredible this year. Absolutely incredible. And to take all of that away because he had a bad day against the Titans is so short-sighted. He had a bad day. Whole team had a really bad day. You realize that that Ravens defense stacked the box with 8 men in the box multiple times against Derrick Henry and the Titans and gave up 120 yards. Basically, they flooded the box knowing they're going to run Derrick Henry. We need to stop it. And they simply couldn't. 8 men in the box, they still ran for 120 yards. He had nearly 200. That's not Lamar Jackson. That was Lamar Jackson never got the ball back because the Texans, or the Titans rather, kept playing keep away. And when he did, he wasn't good. He was not good. But his receivers also were a debacle as well. And the entire team looked completely out of sorts. Now, maybe that's from resting in week number 17 and having the bye. We can have the rust argument. But let's not say that Lamar Jackson's career is suddenly in peril because he had a bad playoff game. Idiotic. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. What's also amazing is Mraz has been elevated to his spot now for no more than 2 weeks. We have done, this is only our 8th show in the morning. 8th show. And already, you can't trust Mraz. As a teammate, you can't trust him. He's already trying to flex on me on Twitter.
That's not true.
Pete the Body Bilotti, we were 7 shows into this morning show. 7 shows. Not only has Mraz erased producer out of his title and his Twitter handle, now it's CBS Sports Radio personality, okay?
I'll drop dead. I will drop dead without those burritos.
Not only is Mraz now considering himself a personality, not a producer, but now...
No, hold on. No, I am a producer.
Now he's flexing on me on Twitter during a playoff game.
And if you would have set the over-under on the date of that to about 2, I would have said over.
Okay.
But I didn't think it would be... I actually thought it would be a little earlier. So actually, he over-predicted that.
Okay, so you thought it would happen in week number 1.
Yes,
it happened in week number 2.
Yeah, so I'll give him credit for that.
Okay, so I had simply tweeted out during everybody crushing the Ravens for their quote-unquote rust, hey, just note, we've had teams that have gone to the Super Bowl having rested week 17. I cited the 09 Peyton Manning Colts, who not only rested week 17 with a bye, they rested second half of week 16. That was the year that they started 14-0. They wrapped up everything, and in second half of week 16, saddle the starters, lost. Saddle the starters in week 17, lost. Had a bye, and then tore through the AFC playoffs, won by a combined 30 points in their 2 playoff games, and then led 10-0 in the Super Bowl against the Saints. Ultimately lost, but you can't say that they were rusty, because they ended up going into the Super Bowl, and having a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl. That's all I said. Didn't at mention Mraz, didn't say anything. Mraz ends up subtweeting me and ripping me for the Russ take. I mean, talk about a terrible teammate.
Oh, that'd be great.
First of all, terrible teammate. You trolled me. You passively aggressively trolled
me. Had nothing to do with your tweet.
First of all, I was on the airwaves on the DA show with the Up the Gut, and I mentioned the rust problem. You sat there and said, yeah, I do wonder about the rust problem.
Okay.
Now I follow it up with a tweet saying another example of why teams with bye weeks shutting down starters in week 17 is senseless. Not 3 minutes later do you tweet without mentioning me in response to the inevitable you should never rest your starters in week 17 crowd.
Very key word there, inevitable. I knew it was coming from people. I knew it was going to come. I had no idea about your tweet.
All right, well then let me say this. There was a sensitive job by me, assuming
you think
that maybe you had tweeted that because you just read my tweet and wanted to really get my goat.
Do you think I might have at-mentioned you?
That's the thing. I think you would have. Maybe you would have.
I'd be scared to at-mention you?
I thought maybe you were trying to take a passive-aggressive shot at me.
Have I ever been passive-aggressive or just aggressive?
I don't know what end's coming. We're on less sleep right now. I don't know. We could be going back to overnight, DA.
I think that was not passive-aggressive either.
No, that's a good point.
I think I've always been pretty direct in my criticism
right.
of you.
So now,
very clear.
Okay. So I guess here's the thing. That was a great stat from Kurt Warner. Since 1990, 41 teams have had a bye week in the playoffs and chose to sit their starters week 17.
Okay.
Only three went on
the Super Bowl. I don't want to run through this stat. That's a good stat. Say it slowly here.
Okay. Since 1990, 41 teams have had a bye week and chose to sit their starters in week 17. Of those 41, only three went on to win the Super Bowl.
So I really like that stat. I think it's a little murky because what do you consider sitting your starters? Is it two starters, your starting quarterback?
Look, admittedly, this was not my stat. This was something that the NFL Network put out there multiple times, and that's where I got it from. That being said, of course, not all 41 can go. Since 1990, there can only be 28 teams that have made the Super Bowl.
Right.
But in essence, of the last 28 Super Bowl champions, only three of them were teams with byes that also rested starters in Week 17, according to the stat, which I find to be telling.
Did it say make the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl?
Win the Super Bowl. Eight made the Super Bowl.
So again, I think making the Super Bowl is bigger right. because now you're not talking about rest anymore. By that point, you have another 2 weeks before the Super Bowl.
I totally agree. So then still only eight. But you're also doubling the amount of teams. Now we're talking about 28, you know,
fair.
I can't do the math.
56.
Right. That's still, to me, that's a small number when you consider teams earning a bye week. So I absolutely think rust is a factor. Now, I put that stat out there with a quote tweet of yours. Maybe since you did not mention me, I should have just reiterated, put that stat out there and not included you. And then we wouldn't have this war of words and you taking that I was being a jerk face to you. I promise I wasn't being a jerk face to you. I read your tweet and had an ego about me and said, he's trolling me right now.
Correct.
And I am man enough to admit that. You did not mention me. I should know our relationship better than that 7 years in that you would come at me with something.
That's right.
You did not come at me, and I was sensitive, and I should not have done that. That being said, in my mindset, I still thought you were passively aggressively trolling me.
You can think I'm incorrect,
but you were.
I'm not being passive aggressive. My point is that everybody simply is going to point to the rust stat here, and I think that's discounting how good the Titans are and the type of game plan they had. I think even if the Ravens play Week 17, my point is, even if the Ravens play Week 17, I think that game unfolds much of the same way.
Okay, my counter argument to that would be, look, the Ravens were such a momentum-based team.
Fair.
That the Titans are, ironically, also a momentum-based team, but the style of play the Titans play, when you're basically spending 3 weeks between playing competitive games, I don't think the Ravens' bodies and minds were ready to get punched in the mouth out the gate the way they did. And you can't tell me the timing of Lamar Jackson was not off at least a bit. I mean, that interception in the first quarter, to me, I don't think is happening those last couple of weeks when he's in rhythm playing every week. I do think there was something to be said that the Ravens got behind the eight ball down 14-0 and really just couldn't find their way back. Now, I know everything kind of spiraled out of control when they don't get the four, or was it the misfield? They're not getting the fourth down. All of a sudden, Derrick Henry rips off the long run, and that changed everything. But I think they were trailing in that game, a large part because they weren't ready to play up to the tempo of the Titans. And look, four teams this week had the bye. Only one of them rested starters week 17. The three that did not, for different reasons, are all playing in the championship game. The Ravens are not.
I think that's all fair. I do think there's a little bit of a murky cause and effect here, because I think the Titans were perfectly built to mess up the Ravens' rhythm. Whether that happened in this round, the next round, had the Ravens not had a bye, had they played week 17, I think the Ravens played with this flow and this confidence and this fluidity and this kind of we'll be ourselves. And once they couldn't be themselves, they got all shot. They were out of sorts. And I thought Greg Roman's play calling was kind of a nightmare.
Atrocious. Because, he was atrocious.
Yeah, I mean, early in that game, when it's clunky, he didn't know how to adjust to get them into the rhythm of the things that they do well. So, I don't know. There was a part of this that I said, I don't think this has to do with week 17. I think this has to do with the matchup, particularly really bad for the Ravens.
I agree for the most part. And I'm not saying that if they play their starters week 17, they win the game. But I do think at least it was a factor coming out the gate. And I think they're behind.
I think it was a factor. Yes.
I think that first quarter when they were not ready to get punched in the mouth with that style of football from the Titans. And I have to think if they are, you know, playing either the, now they can't control not playing the week before, they earn their right to rest. But if they played 2 weeks before as opposed to 3 weeks, that's a long time to turn that switch and be ready to take that kind of physical pounding that the Titan offense was going to bring.
I also think the Ravens were stunned to a news of when the Texans scored a touchdown on the one-handed catch by Janu instead of kicking the field goal. I think perfect coverage there. It was an unbelievable one-handed catch. He gets the left cheek in, and suddenly it's like, wow, that's a spectacular play, and we're down 7? This is not the way it was supposed to go. I think had that been incomplete and they kicked the field goal, it feels a little bit more settled. And then, you know, you have the bomb 54 yards and the unbelievable catch as well on that. And suddenly the Ravens don't know what to do because they're down 14-0.
Right, and playing from behind. But there's a lot of factors that go into it. I just think when you are, as a head coach, just end with this, when you have a momentum-based team and you feel the momentum, I think Harbaugh has to have a better finger on his pulse with his team. That now you got to shut down Ingram. I get it, he's hurt. But, you know, would it have hurt Lamar Jackson at defense to play a half in week 17? Would it have hurt them? Maybe I don't think so. And you were playing a team, the Steelers, playing for the playoffs. So you would be able to match that momentum a little bit and kind of really get yourself ready for the playoffs. You earned the bye. Settle with the bye. You don't need two byes.
Should the Ravens have played the starters in week 17? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, are the Niners the best coach team in football? DA. Mornings aboard the mothership, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Don't say I always listen to my mother. I'm not listening to my mother. Told me to bring up the clothes that were folded downstairs to all the bedrooms. Guess who didn't do it? Me. Because I'm a man and I don't listen to my mother. I'm a man. You don't tell me to bring up clothes that were folded for other people in the house. No way. You let them sit on that couch. I'll have a guest book the rest of the week. How about I give her some numbers? You go book a guest, Mom. How about that?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Mraz's mom is booked. Will Brinson, CBS Sports senior NFL writer, coming up here in Fourth Meal, the fourth hour of the show, about 2 hours from now. Thanks so much for being with us. Doing More brought to you by the Home Depot. Everything that you need to do projects smarter, faster, easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. How about those Tennessee Titans overcoming the odds yet again to upset Lamar Jackson and the top-seeded Baltimore Ravens on Saturday night? Derrick Henry, ballin'. 30 carries, a buck 95. He's got 377 rushing yards in 2 games, the most ever for a running back in the playoffs in the Super Bowl era with just 2 postseason games. The Titans are heading to Kansas City for an AFC Championship game against the Chiefs on Sunday. You can watch the show, huh? Go to watchda.com, available on any device, anywhere, anytime. Just go to your desktop, your laptop, your PC, maybe your smart TV, or your phone, and watch us at watchda.com. I think the San Francisco 49ers are the best coach team left in the playoffs and the best coach team in football. And that includes the Tennessee Titans, who have had 2 impeccable game plans to knock off the Patriots and the Ravens on the road. But Kyle Shanahan's play calling, no matter if he's limited one way, can do something the other way, is splendid. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have a great day, threw the bad interception, didn't need to have a great day because running-wise, against a really good Vikings defense, the Niners just kept ripping off 4, 5, 6 yard runs, just plowed it right down their throats. On defense, Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, had figured out the Vikings within the first 5 plays. And Kirk Cousins was underwhelming, but really, the Vikings were trying to get Dalvin Cook a big day, and the Niners were having none of it. Dalvin Cook touched the football 25 times and had 36 yards or something. I mean, there was just no space anywhere for him. It was a masterclass by both of those coaches. Saleh on defense on the Vikings, who could do nothing besides the one big play to Stephon Diggs. And offensively, Kyle Shanahan's play calling all season long has been one of the most creative in football. Maybe the most creative in football. And that includes Andy Reid, because Reid is doing a lot with a lot of weaponry. And Kyle Shanahan's doing a lot on the ground without any of those big play receivers. The Niners are so remarkably well coached, and the turnaround is dramatic. They are already in the NFC Championship game and poised to be in a lot of big playoff games for a long time. It's a young team that's already there. The coach is good. They kept Saleh, who was up for multiple jobs. John Lynch has done a great job drafting. And overall, I mean, their arrow is so pointed up. Even if they lose this NFC Championship game, it feels like this is just the beginning for the Niners. That's a remarkable turnaround from the Chip Kelly nightmare. I mean, think about it. We're like 3 years removed from Chip Kelly and then Jim Tom Sewell a squeak and a fart out in a press conference. That's not that long ago.
Everybody play naked. Butt ass naked. Everybody play butt ass naked.
I pointed out, that's Jim Tom Sewell saying, everybody play butt ass naked, which again makes no sense. I pointed out on Twitter just how crazy the timeline is of this turnaround, and somebody said, it's a long time coming, DA. They were down to the dumps for like 3 or 4 years. Like 3 or 4 years? Ask a Lions fan or a Browns fan or a Bengals fan or a Jaguars fan what rebuilds usually take. 3 or 4 years? That's a blink of an eye in Browns land. They'd like to have one head coach for 3 or 4 years. Standing by with your headlines is a kind sir. His name is Andrew Bogish. Now, Bogues, we were talking about this last hour.
Mm.
Russell Wilson's, he's really great at football, but really corny talking about football.
Correct.
I don't know if you saw the stat, but Russell Wilson, the last time the Seahawks had won at Lambeau, Russell Wilson was 10 years old.
Yeah.
10. My question was, when I heard that stat, do you think Russell Wilson was corny at 10 years old?
Had to be.
You say yes.
Yeah, you're born like that.
You don't think it's a developed trait as you kind of get through your athletic life trying to say the right thing?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you're still, he's trying not to say anything controversial, but as he's doing that, the corniness is coming through. He could be bland and tell us nothing. He could give us absolutely zilch, but he gives us corn. Because that's who he is.
What kind of corn is it? Mraz, you're good at these analogies. Is it corn on the cob? Is it canned corn, creamed corn, sweet corn, popcorn?
How about creamed corn?
That'd be my guess, too.
Nice and wet.
I mean, it's extra creamy.
Yes, it's just, it's moist, it's soaked.
It's thick.
It's thick. You wouldn't grab it with your hands.
Sometimes too sweet.
Too sweet. Oh, too sweet.
Yeah.
Thick.
Do you think that he was corny at age 10? The last time the Seahawks won at Lambeau, Russell Wilson's watching on a couch. Is he still corny at 10?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's one of those guys that when his parents rolled up with him to the football or baseball field, you knew he was really good. You knew he had to be on your travel teams, but you were just like, oh, I have to sit next to him again. I'm not sitting next to Russell on the bus today. You needed him to win. You were happy to be on his team, competitive and everything, but he had the worst jokes. He'd be the one telling knock-knock jokes when nobody else was.
Dad jokes.
Dad jokes. he'd be the one that would be oddly still sitting with the people playing with Pokemon at school, even though you were with all your gym friends and stuff like that. He wouldn't necessarily care about dodgeball. He wanted to be a Ghostbuster for Halloween.
That didn't seem too corny.
Yeah, because you were corny, D.A.
Probably. Yeah, maybe that is the case. Pete the Body Bellotti, was he corny at 10?
I'm going to say the contrary. I'm going to say no.
Grew to be corny in his athletic career.
Yes, when he got a little
I'm leaning towards that.
He got a little more confidence, maybe in his teenager years. I could see him being quiet and just assessing the land at 10 years old.
Assessing the land?
How do you get older, get money, and then become corny?
Exactly.
You're corny your whole life. If you've gotten to this point, you're still corny. Because now should be the point where you find a way to be cool, and he still can't because he was always corny.
Exactly.
Here's my take on that, is that I think he tries so hard to say the right thing because he views himself as a role model and a leader, that's where so much of the corn comes from.
But that's why the corn comes out. It's because he's trying to not say anything bad. He's trying to say all the right things, and his natural personality and his inclination is to be corny.
So my question here is, if he was just a sanitation guy, do you think he's the corniest sanitation guy?
Yes. Look, take it from somebody who's done a shot with Russell Wilson.
That's true. You were at Prince's mansion for the Super Bowl a couple
right.
of years ago.
Me, Russi, Ciara, Mike Samter, we had a moment. We did a little tequila together. And I will tell you, that was an event where we had to have our phones locked away. Yeah. You know, no social media. We were hanging with, you know, it was just me and the celebs.
Sure.
And at that point, when we do a shot with Russell Wilson, he is a cornball in that moment.
He was a cornball taking a shot.
And my point would be, that's not worried about being in public perception.
No, that's
he's
fair.
Around his people. I mean, when you're around Sierra and Mirage, you're around your people.
Yeah, that is.
And if you're if you're corny, then that tells me you're always corny. It's not just some kind of facade that
but
you're wearing.
But how was
standing.
He corny taking a shot?
Because when Ciara asked us if we wanted shots, he was just like, okay, I guess I could have a shot. What are we going to do
here?
Oh,
so she was into it. He wasn't.
Oh, yeah, she was pushing the envelope.
He was sheepish.
Yes, he was just kind of like, okay, what are we going to do, honey? Like just not with the moment. Like,
I mean, the
not
fact that he was talking to you and Samter proves his corniness.
Totally agree.
Okay, that's interesting because Aaron Rodgers told Mraz, get away from me, buddy.
Exactly.
That's not corny. Russell Wilson was like,
you guys look cool.
Hey, so I hear you're a radio producer. You got to tell me all about the ratings. How did that go last week?
The fact now that it's dawning on me that I had interactions with both quarterbacks playing last night in different interactions is something.
All right, let's put this on a Twitter poll. We haven't done this yet of the morning show, but I want to see how this works. Let's put this up at CBSSportsRadio.com.
Oh.
What was... That was a little groan back there.
Yeah.
Was Russell Wilson corny at age 10? That was the last time the Seahawks had won at Lambeau Field. We'll see what the results are. All right, Andrew Bogish, how is... How's those headlines going?
They are sponsored this time by the NFL. NFL Network is your home for the most playoff coverage anywhere, all the way through Super Bowl 54. NFL Network, one network, all postseason long. The season ended yesterday for the Texans and the Seahawks, which means careers might have ended for older players on each side. Now, Marshawn Lynch has already been semi-retired. If yesterday was, again, his last game, Lynch had some advice for younger players so they're ready for retirement.
Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for when y'all, you know, ready to walk away. You walk away and you be able to do what you want to do.
Okay, so take care of your mentals. Obviously, that means, you know, get your mind right.
That's right.
But take care of your chicken, D.A.
Is that your money?
That is your money.
Oh,
correct.
Okay. All right.
Look at you. Finger on the pulse.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
I'm not as corny as you might think. I know things like that.
Well, I am impressed. I was going to go to Sean first because he has more of a feel for coolness.
The thing is, you want to have a lot of money, but when it's called chickens, it doesn't feel like you'd want a lot of that.
No, because you got to count your chickens before they hatch.
I don't think that's where the connection is on that.
So this came up on After Hours, and our good friend Amy Lawrence was told that it starts with nest egg, which I guess those eggs then become chicken.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true either, but that was one theory presented.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay. But either way, now you got a new word to work into your daily vocabulary.
If you want a lot of money, do you want a lot of chickens or just a lot of chickens?
Singular? Like, do you get a hen house at some point? Yeah,
no,
I don't know.
Is it singular? Do you want a lot of chicken?
Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for for when y'all.
Yeah, it sounds singular.
Yeah,
you just chicken.
Because when you come to work, you say, I'm going to make some chicken scratch. So it's chicken.
Okay. All right. So chicken scratch has been used as money.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think it's just chicken. It's like deer.
Right. But I mean, well, multiple of chicken is chickens. You would have multiple chickens. But in this case, the phrase is you've got to get yourself some chicken.
Yeah, right. But like, think about it. When you say, I haven't seen you in a minute, it's not literally a minute. It's probably been millions of minutes.
Right. Maybe not millions, but multiple minutes. That's right.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Lynch scored twice at Lambeau yesterday, but it wasn't enough for his Seahawks.
Ball to the left hash mark, 40-yard line of Seattle. Rodgers under center. Single back offense. Jones the lone back. Fake to Jones. Rodgers deep drop looking. Pops it over the left side. Devontae wide open. Outside the numbers 20. Cuts it back right past Flowers. 10 to the 5. To the end zone. High stepping. Touchdown. Devontae Adams. 40 yards.
Wayne Larrivee on Packers Radio. Rodgers and Adams' second connection came mid third quarter. Final points of the night for Green Bay, but Rodgers converted late third downs to Adams and Jimmy Graham to run off the final 2+ minutes for a 28-23 escape. It's their third NFC title game in the last six seasons, and it comes late Sunday at the Niners. The Chiefs, meanwhile, somehow hosting the AFC finale. Patrick Mahomes' squad spotted Houston 24 points yesterday afternoon.
The biggest thing that I think I was preaching to the team was, let's go do something special. Let's go do something special. Everybody's already counting us out. Let's just go play by play and just put our best effort out there.
Something special is scoring a touchdown on seven consecutive possessions, something never done before in the postseason. Also never done before in the playoffs, winning by 20 after trailing by 20. The Chiefs' resurrection ending 51-31. Mahomes threw for five scores, three of them to tight end Travis Kelce. So it's the Titans and the Chiefs at Arrowhead, 2:05 Central on Sunday, a 3:40 Pacific kickoff in Santa Clara. Browns, their new head coach, it's apparently Vikings OC Kevin Stefanski. Former Giants head coach Pat Shurmur, reportedly the next Broncos offensive coordinator, and Jimmy Johnson follows Bill Cowher into the Hall of Fame as part of the special centennial class the eight other members revealed Wednesday morning. LSU and Clemson finally play for the national title tonight in New Orleans. And you know, D.A. Sean, not just the Giants, not a Yankees, not just a Rangers expert. He also bleeds Nets black and silk gray.
White?
Charcoal.
Charcoal? That rainbow thing on the Bed-Stuy
Wait,
uniforms?
Is it black and charcoal, or is charcoal the black?
No. Charcoal's the dark gray.
The dark gray.
Okay, so then is it black? Is it white?
It's really black and white is their standard, but charcoal is their third color.
Okay, got it.
So that's why we asked him.
Yeah.
And that's why he liked hearing this last night.
Irving curls around a screen, 15-footer, and it's good. Kyrie Irving. Yeah, no rust on Kyrie. He is 10 of 11 from the floor.
Chris Carino, Nets Radio. Kyrie, 21 points in 20 minutes, basically a week. They're telling us he had no idea when he'd be back from his shoulder injury. Yeah. Maybe he would need surgery.
Maybe the entire season.
Kevin Durant runs his mouth on social media, and back comes Kyrie.
Nets fans should be thanking BT for this.
You know what? I connected those dots as well. That's a complete diversionary tactic. Durant's going nuts. Let's get Kyrie back, put him on the floor, 21 points, and they win by 22. 108-86 over the Hawks. And the Rockies and Cardinals have had preliminary talks about Colorado third baseman Nolan Arenado. That from MLB.com.
Ooh.
St. Louis righty Dakota Hudson might need to be the centerpiece of such a deal. Exactly.
Cardinals would be good with Nolan Arenado, one of the best players in baseball. Thank you, Andrew. When we come back here on the show, sound check your best audio of the day. And that includes a preview of tonight's national championship game. Your morning is aboard the mothership here on CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
There's another present that just popped out of that bag.
It's a wiener dog.
A big wiener dog.
I have a big wiener in my hand.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
49 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can listen to full episodes of the show in podcast form. Simply go to CBSSportsRadio.com. Listen to us on demand. Also, Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other places that podcasts are available. Listen to The DA Show whenever you want. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Coming up at the top of the hour, Patrick Mahomes and his historic day what are we in for this guy's career if he can do this in just his second postseason ever, as his second year as a full-time starter? But let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Ed Ogeron and LSU get set for tonight's national championship game in LSU's home state of Louisiana.
Very special for us to drive down to the state yesterday. A great motorcade. I know our players were looking forward to that. And ever since we knew that the national championship was going to be in New Orleans, it was a goal of ours to win every game, to earn the right to get here. And now we're here, but we got to do something about it.
Now, I would love some type of x-ray on how his vocal cords look versus the normal human being. Are they scratchy? Are they rusted? What is on his vocal cords that make his voice sound like that, which is amazing? I like LSU tonight. I think two things come into play here. Number one, Joe Burrow and his ability to shred every defense he has faced this season. Can Clemson be the one defense that solves him? So Joe Burrow against the Tigers defense is the matchup to watch because he has been unstoppable all season. And number two, the secondary of the LSU Tigers, multiple NFL draft picks in there. Can they stymie? Can they slow down Trevor Lawrence? Ohio State was able to do so in the first half of their semifinal game. LSU's defensive backs just as good, if not better, than Ohio State's. If they can slow down Trevor Lawrence through the passing game and Joe Burrow is able to find his space and his points, then LSU is going to get a big lead in this game, or at least a healthy lead, and I think pull away for a victory. This is all about Clemson not getting into a playing catch-up mode. Clemson's great, and Clemson's offense can be great, but they cannot get behind by 17, 20 points or whatnot early in this one and try to catch up, because you can't trade scores with LSU. I like LSU tonight. Finally, here's Jimmy Johnson on Fox announced as a Hall of Famer.
You're going to be the 328th Hall of Famer into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And your legacy is going to be in Canton, Ohio forever. Congratulations, Coach. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Oh, hey, bud. Oh, my God. Awesome.
Congratulations. Jimmy, overcome the emotion right now. But man. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah!
The only thing I can think of is all the assistant coaches that have worked for me, all the great players that have played for me, they're the reason I'm here. And they're the reason I can't talk.
All right?
No.
Where's your Bob?
I mean, this is so special to me because when you put in the work that we put in, it's nice to know people appreciate it.
I mean, Terry Bradshaw's whooping and hollering in the back there really makes it. Yeah! Hoo! All right!
Way to go, bud!
Yeah! Woo! Ho! Very emotional. I feel really good for Cower and Jimmy Johnson. It was very, very emotional. I did not expect to see Troy Aikman wistfully looking at his former head coach down the line on the TV monitor like it was a NASA engineer watching Apollo 13 go up. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Early returns, you guys think that Russell Wilson was also corny at 10 years old. Poll results, yes, 83%, no, 17% at CBS Sports Radio on the Twitter poll. When we come back, Mahomes is out of body experience.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.